twice a day when we say Kriya Shema, we recite the pasuk Be'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyodecha. So v'chol levavcha is not so clear. V'chol nafshecha, we know what it means. Afilu noita les nafshecha. That's the source for the din of Yehoreg Val Yavar. So once in a while, you have to give up your life al kiddush Hashem. B'chol miyodecha means b'chol mamoincha, that one shouldn't be cheap when it comes to shmiras hamitzvahs. You should spend money to buy your own tefillin. You shouldn't borrow someone else's. You should spend money to buy your own talis, have your own sukkah, and so on. What does it mean b'chol levavcha? The Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes, "Shelo yehei lipcha choluk al amokim." Shouldn't have complaints against the Ribbono Shel Olam. The end of Parsha Shmos, we read the way when Moshe Rabbeinu delivers the Nevuah to Paro that he should let free Bnei Yisrael, so everything got worse. It was worse than it was before. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes back by Yoshe Moshe Al Hashem. He returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he starts complaining. Lama Hari Yos Olam Hazem, Yos Basi Al Paro, Heir Olam Hazem, everything got worse. So in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Ve'era Al Avram Al Yitzchok Al Yaakov. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Chaval al di avdin v'lo mishtakim. Terrible. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're terrible. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I promised them all kinds of things. They never complained. I didn't deliver on any of the promises. They never complained. You're not allowed to complain. Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining of his Koyde Matan Torah before the mitzvah was given. One is not permitted to complain against anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, even if it seems to be a terrible, terrible tragedy. We're supposed to have emunah that call my David Rachmana letav avid. The Mishnah in Brachis says that kishem shemevorchem ala toiva kach mevorchem ala ro. And the Gemara has a comment, why do you say kishem shemevorchem ala toiva? Why is it just like this, so do that? They're totally different brachas. That you say just like you said bracha on potatoes, so do you say bracha on ice cream. What do you mean? Potatoes is adam and ice cream is shahakol. What's the connection? Kishem? Why does the Mishnah say kishem shemevorchem ala toiva? Kach mevorchem ala ro. The brach on the toiva is ha-toiva meitev or shechyono, whatever fits in. And the brach ala ro is baruch dayin ha-emes. The different brachas. So the Gemara answers, you're right, the different brachas. The bracha is recited, the text of the bracha is recited depending on your perception. If your perception is that it's a happy thing, then you say shachyanu atoiv ametiv. If your perception is that it's a raw, it's a tragedy, then you say dainu emes. But the amunah is supposed to be that everything is l'toiva. So that's why the Gemara says the din is kishem shemivorchem ala toiva, just like when a good thing happens. You say the bracha b'roiv simcha, a person is excited. Kach mivorchem ala ro, when you say the bracha dainu emes, you're supposed to recite the bracha b'roiv simcha. The Rabbeinu Yoina, on the side of the Rif, on that Gemara in the last parak in Brachas, Rabbeinu Yoina is quoted in the Mechaber, in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim. Rabbeinu Yoina says, because we're supposed to believe that everything is L'toiva, so that's why even the tragedies, the worst tragedies in the world, are supposed to be, we believe that it's L'toiva. We don't understand it, that's why we recite the Bracha Dayan Remes, because the perception is that it's L'roa. So, but since we're supposed to have emunah that this tragedy is really a taiva, so that's why we're supposed to recite the bracha b'simcha. That's a hard thing to do. Recite the bracha b'simcha. I remember reading in the Sefer Tenuas HaMusar a few volumes about the different volumes and what the movement was supposed to do, and what they did accomplish, what they were supposed to accomplish. So he has there a story about when the Slabodki Yeshiva opened up their branch in Hebron, in Eretz Yisrael. I already forgot all the names of the people. So a young son of the Rosh Yeshiva died in his 20s or something. He was a very promising Talmid Chacham. He was single, he didn't even get married yet. And the Rosh Yeshiva, the Bal Musa, was very upset about it. And they set the funeral for a certain time. He died from a sickness, I think. That was before the Arabs made the whole pogrom and they killed everybody. A few people from YU who were killed also in Hebron. So the Altov and Slabodka, who was there, was in his home, and he showed up an hour late to the funeral. And it wasn't his style to keep everybody was waiting for him. It wasn't his style at all to keep anybody waiting. That's certainly not Musadik to keep everybody waiting. So after everything was over, so somebody asked him, why did he come an hour late? So he said that the din is you have to recite Dayin HaEmes in a state of simcha. And he says he was absolutely not besimcha. So it took him an hour to be mechazik himself in Amunah, to be able to recite the bracha Dayin HaEmes in a state of simcha. The Gemara in Pesachim says that Lasi Lovoi Boilam Azeh, we sometimes recite Dayin HaEmes, we sometimes recite Atay Ba'Meitim and Shachyonu. Lasi Lovoi will only recite Atay Ba'Meitim. We will never recite Dayin HaEmes. Means that the perception will, Lasi Lovoi, the perception will be clear that everything is Latoiva. Boilam Azeh, the perception sometimes is that things are tragedies. And we're supposed to have a Muna that is Latoiva. There is a person who published that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't live up to, this is Apikursis, you're not allowed to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't live up to his half of the deal during the Shoah. So if he didn't live up to his half of the deal, we're not going to live up to our half of the deal. So the whole people who observe mitzvahs today, it's all Eina Mitzvah V'yaz. We're not going to do anything. He didn't live up to his half of the deal, we don't have to live up to our half of the deal. In other words, he's grading the Rabbanu Shalom. He gives grades. So he gave the Rabbanu Shalom an F. He didn't live up to his promises. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, Koidem Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu said like that. The Rabbanu Shalom slaps him and he says, what are you talking about? You're not allowed to talk like that. We're supposed to have emunah. We don't understand that. How can it be that the Shoah, where millions and millions of people were killed, Jews and non-Jews? Woo! How can it be that all of this was L'toiva? No one can comprehend it. Well, we're supposed to have Amunah that this was all L'toiva. You don't grade HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give grades to human beings. But you can't, the Rabban Shalom always gets an A+. We assume they call Ma'adav Rahman al-Tab of it. That's, all religions preach like that. Not the Orthodoxy preaches like that. Every religion. Unless you believe there are those religions, but it's all religions who believe in the God of good and the God of evil. They believe that there's a God of evil. But any normal religion, there's only one true religion, but any half-normal religion preaches that God is good. There's no God of evil. That whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is L'Toivo. How can you have a God that does evil? The Pasuk repeats a few times a theme that's repeated again in the Haftorah. That's one of the connections between the Haftorah and the Parsha, that the purpose of punishing Mitzrayim, both in the Parsha and in the Haftorah, also the Haftorah is talking about punishing Mitzrayim at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon by Nebuchadnezzar. So the purpose of the punishment was V'yidaitem ki ani Hashem Elokech. The whole purpose was that the Jews and the non-Jews should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should recognize that He is the ruler over the whole world. The whole mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we remember, we mention every day, La'askir. Every day we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and once a year we speak Barichas. Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is Barichas, and every day the mitzvah is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's so important about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? The reason is, that's what the early Achrayim explained. The reason is because on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all of the Yud Gimel all the Yikori Hamuna were demonstrated to the Bnei Yisrael. It was demonstrated that there does exist a God in heaven, and that there's only one God, and the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim all melted away, they all fell apart. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously created the world, because otherwise how can he have Shlita to change Teva? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's happening, and he cares about what's happening, and he rewards the righteous, and he punishes the wicked, the Schar V'Yoinesh. And Torah Min Hashem, that there is Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu as a Novi. And Torah, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to lead up the Maimon HaSinai. And that there will be a Geula, the Rabbanu Shalom said, Eker Asher Eker, I will be with them. Eker Ema Migolus Zu, I will redeem them from this Golus, I will redeem them. Ultimately, I will redeem the whole world from the whole miserable mess that the whole world is in. That's what Rashi quotes from the Chazal. That's the meaning of Eker Asher Eker. That's one of the Zayin Shemesh, Enim Chokim. You're not permitted to pronounce it. Just like Elikim and Shaka, you're not supposed to pronounce the Shemesh and Mchokim. So to Eke Arashereke. The Beis Yosef has a Sefer, in addition to his Svarim HaLoch, he has a Sefer, all the things that the Malach taught him. He had a Magid who revealed all secrets of Kabbalah to him. So in the Sefer, where he has all the things from the Magid, so he he quotes some kind of a Kabbalistic explanation as to why you are permitted to pronounce the Shem Me'ekar Asher Eka. So the Meshech Chochma writes that people misunderstood that passage in the Magid Meisharim, in the Sefer of the Beis Yosef. They thought that it's different from the other seven Shem Shein Mechokim. The Gemara in Shavuah says there is Zayin Shem Shein Mechokim Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one you may pronounce, and the other six you're not allowed to pronounce. So the Meshech Chochma says, if you read it slowly and carefully, that's not what it means. The Shaila that the Beis Yosef asked the Magid was, when you're laying in Kriyas HaTorah, so you're laying Elikim, Shakai, Tzlokas, you pronounce everything properly. In a conversation, you don't pronounce it. It's Moitzi Shem Hashem. We're Machmed that it's called Moitzi Shem Shamayim Levatola to pronounce one of the Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu unnecessarily. Some poskim hold that it's only on Yud Kei Vavken Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And we're Machmed on all the Zayin Shemes not to pronounce it. So the Magid Meishorim, the Beis Yosef asked the Malach, he asked the Magid, even when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, how can you lay in Akasher Eke? That was the question. He thought, the Beis Yosef thought that at such a high level of Hashem, you should be above Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You shouldn't be allowed to lay in it even when you're reading a pasuk. So the Malach explained to him why you are allowed to pronounce it like Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that like Elokim, like Shakai, like Tzvokas, when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you do. But it's the same status as the other Zayin Shemes. So if we are Machmer for those Achrayim, it's a Pischi Tshuva. And Yeridech Elagimel, the Hilchas Sefer Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes which are the Zayin Shemesh and Mechok. Machloik is how you list off the Zayin Shemesh. So the Pischi Tshuva quotes the Machloik is which of the Zayin Shemesh is considered Motzei Shem Shamayim Levatola. That you're not permitted to pronounce unnecessarily. So some say it's only Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and others are Machma for all the Zayin Shemesh. So once you're Machma for all the Zayin Shemesh, so then the Meshech Chochmah says you should be Machma even for Eker Asher Eker. But getting back over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promised Moshe Rabbeinu Eka Shereka, there will be a Gulo HaSida. So all of the Ikori HaMunor were indicated on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the purpose of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to remember all of the Ikori HaMunor that were Nesames on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Esamakis, Yidaitim Kani Hashem. We should remember all the ideas, all the important pieces of information of the Korei Muna by remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu delivers the Nevuah in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael, and he says, V'hotzeisi v'yisalti v'galti v'lakachti v'heveisi, etc. And the Yerushalmi says that the takona to drink arbekosis on Pesach night is one opinion of Yerushalmi that is based on this pasuk. The dala gulas, the four parts to the gula. V'hotzeisi v'yitzalti, v'galti v'lakachti eschem liliyom. Shailas, why not have a fifth kos v'heveisi eschem al ha'oritz? So the Gemara has one tana that does speak about. The Gemara has a brisa in the last parak Masechem does speak about the kos chamish. Rabbi Mendel Kasha in his Haggadah Shleima has a whole arichas on the story of the Kos Chamish. So there are those who say that the Hevesi Eschem El Ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, he took us to Eretz Yisrael, then he chased us out. Then he took us to Eretz Yisrael a second time, then he chased us out. This will be fulfilled now, in the process of returning to Eretz Yisrael. And then the Nevi'im seem to be referring to this coming to Eretz Yisrael. V'lo yinot shod me'al ad masom. This time, when we'll all move to Eretz Yisrael, we will not be chased out again. That's how it seems to appear in the Nevi'im. So then this promise will be fulfilled. So that's what some say. It does make sense to be misaken a kos chamishi on corresponding to the fifth part of the gula, be'evesi eschem al ha'aretz, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out, but the lost idlavu will take have a kos chamishi. So that's what some say. That's the kos of Shel Eliyahu. Not a coast of Shalali, Eliyahu Navi comes to visit you. Where does that come from? Where is it? There's no Midrashman say like that. There's a Medrash that says Eliyahu Navi comes and appears at every bris, a different thing, because he complained to HaKadosh Baruch against the Jewish people. As Brisi Hefar, the Jews are not keeping any mitzvahs, he doesn't like these people. So Rabbanu Shlomo said, you're not allowed to complain against my people. Chayecha, I'm going to make you attend every single bris. You'll see that the Jews do observe bris meal. Even many, many Jews. So it's, unfortunately, there are Jews who are assimilated who don't observe Bris Milah. But there are many Jews who are far away from Yiddishkeit who still observe Bris Milah. I remember I attended a Bris in the mountains once where the father was not Jewish. the mother was Jewish, her father was not Jewish. And they had all the Goyish, all the Italian Christian relatives, they were all there by the bris. The rabbi had to bring kosher bagels and kosher food for the bris. Even people who are, they don't keep anything, even people who don't keep pizzas. Many Jews do observe bris meal. So that's a medrash that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Aliyah and Ali come. He's invisible, so you have Kisa Shel Aliyah. He attends the bris. I don't think the Ramid Rashim that says Aliyah and Ali comes on Leil HaSeder. That's a folks literature, I think. And I think it says in Midrash. So why is it? Why do you have a kosher Shel Aliyah? So some say, no, when Aliyah and Ali will come, Lasi Lava, I will have five kosers. Because then it will be Behebeis Yeschem Al HaOretz, will come to Eretz Yisrael, in a fashion that will be irreversible, as the Navi promises, we will not be thrown out from Eretz Yisrael again. But Moshe Rabbeinu delivers that nevuah of Yisrael Chmal Ha'aretz, Ashenasati Os Halachem, Venasati Os Halachem, Moi Rosho Ani Hashem. He says that Eretz Yisrael is a Moi Rosho for the Jewish people. The Gemara in Yesh Nachlin quotes one Tana who says that the Benoist Tzalot Chod knew the Din. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the din, but Slavcha knew the din, that when there are no sons, that the daughters get the Yerusha. That wasn't their shaila. It wasn't the women's issue, like the women presented today. That the women pressured God, or the women pressured Moshe Rabbeinu, one way or the other. Those who believe in Torah Men HaShemayim, so they say the women pressured God. Those who don't believe in Torah Men HaShemayim, they believe the rabbis made it up. So the women pressured the rabbis, and the rabbis changed the din. That whenever there are no sons, so then the women get the Yerusha. So the one Tana says there in Yesh Nechlin, that was never under discussion. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the din, but Aislavcha knew the din. The Shaila was a different Shaila, whether Eretz Yisrael is Roya Muchzo, that Tzlovchod was a Bchor to his father, Hefer, and he was entitled to a double portion of whatever his father had. But the Mishnah has the Halacha that the Bchor only gets Bishnayim, B'muchzok, whatever the father has his hands on already. So the question that they were asking was whether their father, Tzlovchad ben Chayfer, was entitled to a double portion in Eretz Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu, so that's the shaila. Was that a promise to be fulfilled in the future? In which case is Rotwi. It's not Muchzok. They're not going to get Eretz Yisrael till they cross over the Yarden. And they win the war. Or should we assume no? Kilochoy Teneno is a matona that Avram Avinu was kind of right away. If he was going to right away, and then when he died, he already went Birusha to Yitzchak. When he died, he went to Yank. When he died, he went to the Shvatim. So then it's Muchzor. Even though they weren't living in Eretz Yisrael, but it'll still be Muchzor. So one Tana says in the Gemara that was the whole deal, whether Eretz Yisrael was Muchzor or not. So the Gemara says that yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, I'm not sure. Vayakrev Moshe's Mishpaton El Hashem, he wasn't sure, and he said, I'm not sure why when I delivered the Nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me word for word, when Asati Os HaLechem Morosho, I'm not sure what did I mean when I said Morosho. I delivered the Nevuah, but I'm not sure whether Morosho means a Yerusha, Yerusha Himi Avisech Memois Avram Avinu, or Morosho means that they don't have it yet, they're going to get it in the future. Maybe that's what the word Morosho meant. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not sure. I delivered that Nevuah in Parshas Ve'eri before Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the story with Benoit Salavcha was many years later, but he says, I'm not sure what I meant when I said Marasha. So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, the answer is, Nason titen lahem achuzas nachalo, Nason titen the double loshen, keif loshen means that they should get a pishnai, that they do get the double portion, that it's muchzuk and not roy. Eretz Yisrael mechzakasim me'aviseinu, mimois Avraham Avinu. That's the Gemara. The Gemara has like that in Yesh Nechli. So then the question begs itself, so why did he say Morasha? Why should have been called the Yerusha? Why did he use this strange Lashon Morasha? So some say that there's a difference between a Yerusha and a Morasha. Yerusha is an inheritance. In English there are two different words, inheritance and a heritage. An inheritance means my rich uncle dies, Uncle Sam, my rich uncle dies, and I get all this money, and I can do whatever I want. I can gamble away the money, I can go to the horse races, I can give away dollar bills on the corner, I can burn the money. Whatever I want, I can do with the money. That's an inheritance. A heritage means a family heritage, something that's transmitted from generation to generation. I got it from the earlier generations, and it's understood that it's my responsibility to transmit it, to pass it on to the next generation. So that's what we usually assume, that the Yerusha is an inheritance, that you can do whatever you want with it. But Rasha appears in the Chumash in connection with Eretz Yisrael and in connection with Torah. Torah Tzivul Ona Moshe Mo Rasha Ki Hilas Yaakov. That the Torah and Eretz Yisrael are not an inheritance, they're a heritage, that we have an obligation to transmit it in its entirety to the next generation. You have no right to negotiate to give away Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is non-negotiable. The Jewish people are not the Bialim to give it away. That's what Rav Soloveitchik had in the name of his father. They were considering making Rav Soloveitchik the chief rabbi. That would have posed quite a problem with the Hetta Mechira. For many years, the chief rabbi had always arranged the Hetta Mechira for Shnas HaShmita, that they sold the land to the Arabs. Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his father that it's not Shaykh to have a Hetta Mechira. He says the Chumash has a din that you can sell property. Sell to a Jew, you sell to a Goy. One Kenyan works for a Jew, a different Kenyan work for a Goy. He says the whole institution of Mechira only applies if it's a private person who owns the property. If Klal Yisrael owns property, so you have no parsha in the Chumash that it lends itself to Mechira. So is there any property that belongs to Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara says that Yerushalayim line is chalka l'shvotim. Machloikis hatanoim. So later in the end of Perek Meruba, Machloikis hatanoim, we paskin like the Tana that Yerushalayim line is chalka l'shvotim. When Yeshua ben Nun divided all of Eretz Yisrael, so Yerushalayim was half b'chelka shal Yehuda, half b'chelka shal Binyamin, but he didn't give them ownership of their chelik. Usually when they divided Eretz Yisrael l'shvotim, so every shevet owned that region, and then they divided it l'mishpachas, then they divided it l'yechidim. And Yerushalayim, half of it fell out b'chelka shel Binyamin, half b'chelka shel Yehuda. The rest of Yehuda and Binyamin belonged to the Shevet, and then they divided it further the mishpachas for the Yechidim. Yerushalayim was never given ownership. The Dini Mamonis was never given to Yehuda and Binyamin on Yerushalayim. Why not? Machlokes HaTanaim. Why not? So the Sifrei says based on the pasuk we should in Parshas Re'eh. You should build the Beis HaMikdash B'makam Shilcha Hashem Mikol Shivtechem Lo'asam HaShemayisham. It has to be Mikol Shivtechem. The area has to belong to all of the Shvatim. So if they would have given ownership to Yehuda and to Binyamin, then the Beis HaMikdash would have been built B'chalka Shal Yehuda B'chalka Shal Binyamin. That would be a violation of this requirement. That's how this Tana holds. The other Tana holds that they bought it up. It says in Navi that David HaMelech collected money from all of the Shvatim, and he paid for Goran Arabna Hayibusi. That's where they built the Beis HaMikdash. So since it was paid for, when David HaMelech was beginning, David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech built it. But David started. He was makdash all of the precious metals when he won all the wars, the Pesukim say in Divrei Hayamim. When he won the wars against all the Goyish nations, so usually they poured all the gold and silver into their Avodah Zarah, into the Getchkes. So the Getchkes also Bano, so he had a sidekick, a Goy. The Gemara says he had Itai Hagiti with him, who was a non-Jew. He would pick up the Avodah Zarah, so he told Itai Hagiti, go be Mevatlet. Itai Hagiti just made a declaration, I don't believe that this is Avodah Zarah, that's it. Comes Mutavano. The Gemara says if it's Avodah Zarah shel Goy, and you get a non-Jew to be Mevatlet, so it becomes Mutavano. So if it became Mutavano, then he took it. If he would have taken it first and it would belong to him, then also the Gemara has a din that it's called Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. Either it's Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael if a Jew worships the Avodah Zarah, or if a Jew acquires ownership of the Avodah Zarah. So he did neither. He didn't worship it, he didn't acquire ownership. And then later on it was Mutabahano. So then all of this gold and silver he saved, the Psukim saved the Rayam, he put it all aside to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it says in Tanakh that he collected money from all of the Shvatim and he purchased the Goran Arabna Hayvusi from the Goy, from Arabna Hayvusi. So one Tana holds that that's called Mikol Shivtechem because they all paid for it. And the other Tana says, no, it has to be Mikol Shivtechem. It shouldn't be Nischalka L'Shvatim. So that's what we paskin la'alacha. We have dinan based on that assumption that Yerushalayim la Nischalka L'Shvatim. The rest of Eretz Yisrael was Nischalka L'Shvatim. And then the Shvatim divided it L'Mishpachais, and then the Yechidim. So all the Yechidim had a private ownership. Yerushalayim was never Nischalka L'Shvatim. So what happened at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon? So on that occasion, the Churban Bayis Rishon, it would appear that everybody lost their ownership, their private ownership of the land. Because we have an international principle of Kibush Melchama. That's a whole sugi in Gittin, on Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara learns that from Psukim. One of them is, Vayish ben Menushevi, a few other Psukim. Amen Amar Pti Haru B'Sichon, different Psukim. So you have Psukim to indicate that if there's a war between the Jewish people and the non-Jews, and the Jews win the war, so they're kind of the Kibush Melchama from the non-Jews. If the non-Jews win the war against the Jews, so they're kind of everything that belonged to the Jews, they're kind. Or if one non-Jewish nation wages war against another non-Jewish nation, so whoever wins the war is kind of the karka. The Gemara never talks about the fourth possibility that Jews wage war against Jews. You couldn't imagine such a thing. Jews are going to wage war against Jews. The Gemara talks about the three things that have happened in the past. That whoever wins the war is kind of, that's the international principle of Kibush Melchama. So on the occasion of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Pashtus is that the Jews lost the war. So they lost their bialus over all of Eretz Yisrael. So the Psukim and Chumash keep on repeating in Bereishis, and it's in Shmos also, and today said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avram, and a bris with Yitzchak, and a bris with Yaakov, regarding Eretz Yisrael. Akris's bris that is going to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. So what was the need? What was the need for this bris? A bris is a shvua, a haftocha, a shvua. What was the need for the bris? He gave them Eretz Yisrael, according to our tradition, that right away, so it belonged to him already. You need a bris, a promise, if it's going to be fulfilled in the distant future. But if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam already gave Avraham Avinu the ownership of Eretz Yisrael, so why did he have to make a bris? A bris is a shvua. The Ramban Chumash writes, a bris is a shvua. A shvua means I'll call upon him under all circumstances. It's not dependent, no strings attached. He gave him Eretz Yisrael already. So what do you mean, no strings attached? So the Chazon Ish explains, and Rav Soloveitchik said the same thing. Chazon Ish explains in the Sefer on Shviyas that the bris was necessary because when it came to Churban Bayis Rishon, and everybody should lose their ownership of the land that they owned in Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to the Jewish people, so we lost our ownership. So that's what the Pasuk says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. A bris means I'll call upon him, means unlike everything else under the sun, that's subject to the principle, the international principle. Kibush Melchama, that the nation who loses the war loses their ownership of the karka, and the army who wins the war is kind of that karka for their government. Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. But it belongs to the Jewish people as a nation. The bris was made with the Klal Yisrael, it wasn't made with the Yechidim. So the Pashtus is that after the Churban Bayis Rishon, all of the Yechidim lost their ownership, and Eretz Yisrael reverted back to the ownership of Klal Yisrael because of this bris. Then in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, you never find that they made a chalukah. It says in the end of Yecheskel, I said, love it, there's going to be a chalukah. It's going to be a different chalukah. It's going to be a chalukah. It says the 13 portions, the 12 shvatim, Shevet Levi is not going to get again. Shevet Levi loses out. And Menashe and Ephraim are going to get the separate sections. And the government is going to get the 13th section. That's how it says in the end of Yecheskel. But in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there was no chalukah. If there was no chalukah, so Rav Soloveitchik said from his father, the Pashtus is that all of Eretz Yisrael had the status like Yerushalayim, Shalayim is chalukah l'shvatim. So everything belonged to the Klal Yisrael. So he said it's not shaykh to be moicher. He said you don't have private ownership on the karka. If you don't have private ownership, so you're not a balabas to sell. I let the Jewish agency sell as representing Klal Yisrael. Let the Knesset sell. Let the Rosh HaMemshalah. Let the Chacham Ovadia, whoever represents Klal Yisrael, let them sell. So he said, no, there is no parsha in the Chumash that Klal Yisrael has the ability to sell Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says, Morasha. Morasha means that it's a heritage. It's not a Yerusha, an inheritance that if you want, you can throw it out. Just like the Torah, you can't cut off parts of the Torah. We have an obligation to transmit the entire Torah to the next generation. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. The whole Torah is going to be intact. We can't throw out any mitzvah. So to Eretz Yisrael is non-negotiable. You can't give away Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs. That's why it's called Marasha. There's a difference between a Matana and a Marasha. And a Yerusha, the din is that a Matana is only Midaito. The Mekabal Matana doesn't accept Bal Korcha. But a Yerusha is even Bal Korcha. The Gemara says about the Pchor who gets Pishnayim, every Pchor gets Pishnayim. So he gets a double portion. So the Chelek HaPshita that he gets like every son, that's a Yerusha, that he gets Bal Korcha, whether he likes it or not. If he doesn't like it, he can be mafkir, he can be maknit, but just by being moicher, it's not going to prevent him from acquiring his ownership. But the chelika pishnayim, it says nechumish losisla pishnayim. B'chola sheimatze losisla. The Gemara says matana kayu rachmana. Ma matana adase liyadai. This also, the Gemara says he doesn't get bal korcha. So here it says that Eretz Yisrael and Torah are both called marosha. They're both bal korcha, whether you like it or not. Whether one likes it or not, the Torah is binding on him. And whether one likes it or not, the Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. That's one of the reasons why it's referred to as Morasha Yerusha. But the question we were working on was, why is it called Morasha as opposed to Yerusha? That is assumed that Morasha means a heritage. It's not only an inheritance, it's a heritage that we have an obligation to transmit it to the next generation. In Parsha Shmos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on giving tainus. The Medrash says that it was 6 days in a row. Medrash on Shmos says 6 days in a row. Pashup Shat in the story of Chumash, it was a few minutes, half an hour. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu and he has a whole argument back and forth. But the Medrash says it was 6 days, I think. And every day Moshe Rabbeinu came up with a new excuse why he doesn't want to go. So then after the whole thing is all over, the Rabbanu Shel Olam says, I'm going to punish you. What's the matter? After the whole story. And the end of Parsha Shema, he said, the Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Aaron Achicha HaLevi. Aaron is supposed to be the Levi, you are supposed to be the Kohen. You give me such a hard time, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you the Levi and he's going to be the Kohen. The Kohen is going to go through Aaron. That was the punishment. So the question begs itself, if Moshe Rabbeinu was already told, last Shabbos, he already heard that he's not supposed to refuse. So how come this Shabbos this week he's still refusing a parshas va'era when the Rabbanu Shalom says, "Bo daber a parah melech misarach shalachus bnei Yisrael me'artzav." Daber Moshe Hashem, "Hey bnei Yisrael, l'shamar la'beich yishmeinim parah ba'anish v'aral svasayv." He's giving the Rabbanu Shalom a hard time again. He was just told by the snare that he was punished because he keeps on refusing, and here it doesn't mention that he's punished. The Medrash has a machloikis whether he was punished for refusing or not. So according to the one who says he was punished because he refused, Apella, why does he still refuse? So the Pashto says he was not punished now. The generally accepted view is he was not punished now. So why was he talking not punished? He was told that he's not allowed to refuse. So the Meshech Chochmah has a very fascinating explanation. He says that we have a din. When they call a person up for Aliyah, he's not supposed to give the Gabbai a hard time. He's supposed to run. The Gemara says in Brocha Shlosha Dvar Mikatzin Yama Vishnosim Shalodim, there are things that cause people to die young. If you eat the wrong kind of foods, okay, overweight, all those things, whatever the doctor tells you. In addition to that, it says in the Gemara that if they call a person up for an aliyah and he doesn't run, if he starts to give the Gabbai a hard time, he doesn't want to take the aliyah. Vishnosim La Sefer Teolikro Veino Kori. They give you the aliyah, you don't want to take it. Sometimes Balabatim are angry at why they gave him Chamishi. You don't even give to a Schwarze, whatever, you know, a Ravi, whatever. I don't understand what it's all about. Have all these hang-ups. So they refuse to take the Aliyah. After that guy, how can I get out? After that guy, he's my enemy. They call him up to the Torah. So you're not allowed to refuse, whatever reason. Even if the Gabba wants to be Mavazayu by giving you the Aliyah, get an Aliyah. It's a mitzvah. You have to run to do the mitzvah. But when the Gabba asks it to Daven for an Amid, so the Mishnah implies that you're supposed to refuse the first couple of times, then only accept the third time. It says in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, if the Shliach Tzibur is nishtatek, and he can't continue, he got all mixed up, and Zman HaTanran, they didn't have a sitter. So he got confused, and he can't continue. So then, lo yehi sarvim bo'osho sho. If the Gabbai asks them to take over the Yomot, so then it's not derech eretz to give him a hard time. But if it's before davening, and the Gabbai asks, so derech eretz dictates that you should turn it down the first couple of times. Why is there a discrepancy between an aliyah in the Shliach Tzibur? So the Meshech Chochma explains on this week's Sedra that when you get an Aliyah, you're not the Shliach Tzibur. You're doing a mitzvah. So when you're given an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you should grab the opportunity. When you serve as the Shliach Tzibur to Dam Varnamet, that's called the Shliach Tzibur. That's a position of Sarara. So Sarara, Derech Eretz dictates that you should turn down. So the Meshech Chochma claims that's the difference between the refusal of Moshe Rabbeinu Parshas Shmos and the refusal of Parshas Va'era. In Parsha Shmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, go deliver a nevuah to get Bnei Yisrael to go free. He didn't say, I'm appointing you as the manig of Klal Yisrael. In today's Parsha, it says, after the refusal, He turns it down. So the next, he was not punished. So the next pasuk is Vadaber Hashem al Moshe al Aaron vayitzaveim al bnei Yisrael ve'al Paro melech Mitzrayim. What does that mean, vayitzaveim? So Rashi says he appointed them as the manhigim, and he warned them then that the manhig has to put up with a lot of garbage from the people. They're going to attack you. They're going to humiliate you. They're going to curse you. Everything. You have to take everything with a smile. You have to be menahalim benachas. Vayitzaveim means he was telling. Rabbi Shlomo was instructing Moshe and Aaron that now that they have a position of leadership, so they have to act properly the way a manik has to act. So that's what the Meshach Chochma says in Parshas Ve'era. Kodesh Baruch Hu is appointing Moshe and Aaron to a position of sororus. The Derech Eretz dictates that you should turn it down. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was not punished. He says, no, Heim B'nei Yisrael Hashem Mo'ela, I'd rather not. But the Rabbi Shlomo insists, so he has no brayer, he has to go. That's where Abel Bela Soloveitchi comments on the next pasuk. Eile Rasha Beisa Boisam, B'nei Ruvain, U'B'nei Shimon, Ve'ele Shmoz B'nei Levi, the Soldosam, and then it conks out. That's all. If you're listing off the whole Toldos of B'nei Yisrael, so what happened to the rest of the Shvatim? One's only Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and then it conks out. So Rashi says, Rashi's quoting the Medrash, the pasuk really wants to give the Yichus of Moshe and Aharon. So Derech Agav, Moshe and Aaron from Shevet Levi. So instead of just giving the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron, so it starts Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and then it stops. After you figured, after you mentioned what's the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron, so there's no need to proceed to talk about the other Shvat. But Rashi never explains, B'ntoch Shehuzkak L'Yachis Moshe V'Aaron, because he had to give the Yichus of Aaron. So he starts from the beginning. Why do you have to give the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron? Why is that necessary over here? So Ravelvela Soloveitchi points out that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu chose the 70 Zkenim for the Sanhedrin, so it says, V'hisyatz v'shom imach, they should be with you. So the Gemara says, imach, itoch, the two psukim, one says imach, itoch. So the Gemara says, itcha b'doim imloch, itcha, they should be similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is a miyuchas, so too they should all be miyuchasim. That you shouldn't have members of the Sanhedrin who are gerim. If they have a weaker yichus, they're not permitted to be in a position of sorority over people who have a stronger yichus. So how did the Chachamim know the darshan itcha b'doim imloch, that they have to be miyuchasim like Moshe Rabbeinu was a miyuchas? Who says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be a miyuchas? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu could have served as the manig of the dor, even if he would have been a mamzer or a ger. Who says that it had to be a miyuchas? So that's what Avraham Avinu says. No, that's mitoch shuus kekliyachas shifta shalevi. Because right now, by Tzaveim al Bnei Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu is appointing Moshe and Aaron to a position of Sarara, to a position of leadership. So to be in a position of Sarara, you have to be a Miyuchas. You can't be on a lower level of Yachas, of Yuchsin, than the Tzibur that you have the Sarara over. So that's why the Parsha assumes, Hutzu Kliyaches, Moshe and Aaron, so Derech Agav, so we Miyachas all of the Shvatim up until you get to Shevet Levi. That's what Avraham Avinu Soloveitchi explains. Why they miyachis over Eile Rasha Beis Avosam. Al pi halacha. Avraham Avinu always has halacha. He takes agodas and he makes them into halacha. Everything becomes halacha by Avraham Avinu. He has psukim, he has agad, everything by Avraham Avinu. He has everything, has a tilt of halacha on it. So Rav Nevenzal has in his Sefer on Chumash, he has an interesting comment on this pasuk. He says, most people have the attitude that when they're successful in life, they attribute the success to their intelligence or to their pikchus and so on. And when they fail, they say, oh, that's my father's fault because he taught me this, my mother's fault, my cousin taught me, everybody, when you do things wrong, you shift the blame to someone else. When things work out well, then you claim that you're the one who's responsible. So usually tzaddikim are the reverse. When they're very successful in life, so then they say it's b'schus aveseyim hakdosh, and the schus of their forefathers. And when things go wrong, they say it must be that I was mekalkal. So he has an interesting comment. He says, until now, Moshe Rabbeinu was a total failure. He killed the Mitzri, and then he had to run away. And then when he delivers the Nevuah to Paro, things get worse. He didn't accomplish anything great in life so far. He didn't accomplish anything great. Now, he's starting to do the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now everything is right, and now it's going to be gewaldig stuff. So that's why he says, well, it's all in the schus of my forefathers. So that's my mitoch shuske kliyaches, Moshe v'Aaron, because they, when things went well, when they were successful in their mission, so they would attribute their success to their forefathers. So that's why the pasuk over here writes, Ela Rosh Beis Avoisa. An interesting, he gives our derech ha'agoda. Now, Velbel always has everything as halacha.
Regarding his mission, Makos, about the Gola, there's a focus whether he's Choser Misrara Shahayaba. So, Moshe was Zerotzeah. That was coming back. So, does he accept the position of Srara?
Hey, he killed a guy. There's a mitzvah to kill a guy. The guy was about to kill a Jew. He was a right if the guy was a right. If Moshe Rabbeinu did a big mitzvah. He deserves to be put into a position of leadership because he killed the writer. I don't know, but that wasn't there. Then the mission talk my one who kills another Jew b'shoigeg, who has to run to Dori Miklot. That was a tragedy. Yeah?
What's the reason in the Mishnah when the Machlokas?
What's the reason in?
In that Mishnah, why does he return to his position of Srara?
Is it right? Yeah. After all, he was involved in such an accident that he killed someone.
Is that a
Pagam Yichus? No, it's not a Pagam Yichus. Let's say a guy was a gangster, and then he does tshuva, Ish Lakish, and then he does tshuva. Do you appoint him as a Rosh Yeshiva? I don't know. Ish Lakish was the head of the gangsters. Did he ever, he learned well. We paskin like him a lot of times. Did he ever appoint him to a position of leadership? I don't know. I think he died before Rabbi Yochanan. He died before Rabbi Yochanan. He never took over. Rabbi Yochanan was the Rosh Yeshiva. He never took over the Yeshiva. He sat and he learned in the Yeshiva and he expressed his opinions and a lot of times we follow him. But they never appointed him to a position of leadership. Like when a gangster. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that Paro is not going to give in. Vani akshes leiv Paro. The Ramban Chumash points out, the other Rishonim point out, that the first five makas, it says that Paro, it doesn't say Vashem hikshes leiv Paro. It says that Paro didn't want, Ramban Shalom didn't have to intervene then. It just says that Paro was a miserable person and he didn't give in. Beginning from the sixth makah, on that sentence, there it says Vashem Hiksha. Is there, but let's see. Achbedes Libo says a few times Achbedes Libo on his own. After the first five makas, then it says that it's because Hakadosh Baruch Hu. After the five makas, he would have already given in normally. So then Hakadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene and Hiksha slave power. So there is an interesting pasuk in the end of Mishlei, I think the pasuk is. Palgei mayim le melech b'yad Hashem kol ha-sheyach b'tziyatenu. That the lev of the melech, the heart's king, is like a little trickle of water in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Palgei mayim le melech b'yad Hashem. If you have a very wide river and you want to divert it, you have to have it's a major undertaking. You have to know how to do it. You have just a trickle of water, so you just put your hand there and the water is going to be diverted to a different direction. So the Lev Melech is B'yad Hashem, the heart of the world leaders, the world statesmen, is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very easily, it's not such a major job to be mata his Lev. So there's a long comment of the Ralbag on the bottom of the page, in the Mikros Gedolos, on that pasuk, where he explains that everybody's given Bechira Chavshis. We believe every person has Bechira Chavshis. Not everybody believes it. The Jewish religion believes in Bechira Chavshis. Except for when it affects someone else. I don't have Bechira Chavshis to kill someone if he's innocent. I don't have Bechira Chavshis to give someone $1 million a matan if he doesn't deserve it. Any hatova, any raw that a person experiences, we believe that there must have been a gzera min hashamayim. We believe in hashgacha pratis. Hashgacha pratis is also on today's sedra. Everything is hashgacha pratis. Detailed hashgacha pratis. Here, the tzvardeya. It's says a few times by the Makkos, B'cho uvavadecha uviyamecha. So Rashi says, because first Paro sins, so he's going to be punished first to a greater degree. Uvavadecha, the cabinet, the Mitzrayim is going to, next, they're going to be punished more than everybody else and less than Paro. Uviyamecha, the whole Hamoinam, because they didn't throw out Paro. They didn't rebel against all of the raw that they were doing to the Jewish people. There's Ashgacha Protest, the punishment is given by Hadrogen. More punishment to Paro, slightly less punishment to the cabinet, Bavadecha, and then Biamecha. So we believe in Ashgacha Protest. So we believe in Bechira Chavshis, but I don't have the ability to kill someone who doesn't deserve to die. I don't have the ability to give him $1 billion and to make him happy if he doesn't deserve to get all of that money. The Pasuk says that you have to put a makkah, yasisa makkah l'galgecha, ki'ipal ha'noifel mimenu. So the Yerushalmi has a comment. Why does it say ki'ipal ha'noifel? Ki'ipal ish mimenu, ki'ipal odom mimenu. Ha'noifel sounds like he already fell down. Before he fell down already. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. The person wouldn't fall down unless there was a gzer min ha'shamayim. There must have been a gmardin on him that he should fall down. And still the Pasuk says, even though if I won't put a makkah, whoever's going to fall down and get killed, it'll be his own fault, it'll be a gzer min hashamayim. But let it not be, you shouldn't be the shliach l'ra. Let the Rabbanu Shalom pick someone else to do the dirty work. You put a makkah around your roof, so you shouldn't be the shliach l'ra. Harbi shluchim la'mokim, let someone else cause that the rotzen Hashem should be fulfilled. So the Ralbag writes on that pasuk that the heads of state, most of the decisions that they make are nogeh to many people. They make a decision to go to war, so many people are going to get killed. Make a decision, whatever. Sometimes l'tovah, sometimes l'ra. So these decisions affect other people. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends their bechira chavshus. The heads of state don't have the ability to make up their minds. Hitler didn't have the ability to decide to kill so many millions and millions and millions of people. Stalin killed more people than Hitler. They didn't have the ability, they didn't have the Bechir Chavshis to make these decisions to kill so many people. It's Min HaShamayim, they allowed him to do it. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted, we don't understand how that can be. We have a good kasha, we don't know the answer. We assume that God is a good God and he doesn't do any yavlis and he doesn't permit a yavlis to occur. So that's why Lishita Senu and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows everything that's happening and has the yicholis to intervene. So that's why Lishita Senu put together all the Kori Hamuna, we have a murderous kasha. But that's what we believe, that it must have been Min HaShamayim. So that's what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam suspends Paras Bechira Chavshis in order to cause history to turn in a certain direction. This is not unique to Paro. This is going on now. The Rosh HaMemshalah in Eretz Yisrael is Min HaShamayim, that he's doing all these crazy things. And that they don't fire him in America. How can it be in America? They would have impeached him. We would have thrown him out already. It's Min HaShamayim that they didn't impeach him over there. The whole thing is Min HaShamayim. The Gemara has in Perek HaKoinis, in Bava Kamma, the Gemara has in Agadata, that when the shepherd is angry at the sheep, for whatever reason, so the sheep usually follow each other, they follow the leader. So he takes a blind sheep and he puts him in the front, and the blind sheep doesn't see where he's going, so he falls into over a cliff, or he falls into the ravine or something, he falls into the river. So all the other sheep will follow and they'll all suffer. So the Gemara is saying that when the Baruch Shalom is angry at Bnei Yisrael, he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. When the Baruch Shalom is angry, he gives us a Rosh HaMemshalah who's blind, and he makes awful decisions, and he has everybody follow the leader. Obviously he's angry at Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara, that we assume that this is so not only about Paro, this is so about any Rosh HaMemshalah, any government, any official who makes a decision that's negeh to other people, whether the president is going to use a Colgate, some other kind of toothpaste, and some of this Bechira Chavshis or not, unless it'll sell better, unless they'll be able to advertise that the president uses it, it's also negeh to other people. So then he doesn't even have Bechira Chavshis to decide what kind of toothpaste to use. But heads of state don't really have too much Bechira Chavshis, only on their personal lives. Whatever's negeh to others, that's that long Ralbag. So we shouldn't be surprised about this. Maniach she slave Paro. Paro is like a Truman. Truman recognized Medinas Yisrael, and then the next Turk de Diba, he backed out, but he couldn't do anything about it. They're ready for a foul. What And well, and Rashi recognized me, so it didn't make sense. Rashi was always, after they recognized Medina Yisrael, they were right of them in the United Nations. That was right of Eretz Yisrael. It was Min HaShamayim. All these big things, all big government decisions are Min HaShamayim. That's the pasuk. Pal Gamayim Le Malach B'Yan Hashem. The problem here is, in Parshas Ve'era, the Ramban HaChumash raises the problem, and the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva and the Shemayin HaProkim, the last of the Shemayin HaProkim, raises the problem. It says that they were punished. They were punished. Paro was punished and the Mitzrayim were punished because of his refusal to let Bnei Yisrael go free. So after the first five makas, he didn't let them go free. That was his own decision. But the next five makas, that was all Min HaShamayim that he didn't say. How can you punish a person for an avera if he didn't have Bechira Chofshes? The whole fact that there's Char V'Yonish, that there's punishment, reward and punishment, is based on the premise that people have Bechira Chofshes. If you don't have Bechira Chofshes, he doesn't deserve a punishment. So that's what the Ramban HaChumash works hard on this week's Sedra, and the Rambam in the Hilchas Tshuva Neshmein HaProkim talks about that. So the Rambam has his famous explanation. Basically, the Ramban says the same thing. The Rambam has more famous than the Ramban, that there's such an institution as Minias HaTshuva. Sometimes if a person is such a sinner, usually the Rabbanu Shalom gives everybody the ability to do Tshuva. And sometimes the Rabbanu Shalom is so fed up with an individual, he did so many Chatoim, that he revokes his Bechira Chofshes, he restrains his Bechira Chofshes. Everybody has limited Bechira Chofshes. We don't have unlimited. I don't have the ability to murder you. You're an innocent guy. I don't have the ability to give you I don't have the $1 billion. But even if I would have, I wouldn't have the ability to give you the $1 billion unless there would be a Gzer Min HaShamayim to give it to you. That's how the Gemara says, Enon Nokef Etzboi Malamato, Kemachriz Malamalamato. The person doesn't prick his finger down here to have any slight pain, or any hatovah for that matter also, unless they made a gzera min hashamayim that it should happen. There's a hashgacha pratis on details. So that's the problem. How can it be onesh if the person didn't have bechira chofshes? So if Para was forced into keeping Bnei Yisrael slaves, he would have already given in after the sixth makkah. But starting from the sixth makkah through the tenth, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hikshas Libo. So that's the Pella. How does he deserve a punishment for that? So the Rambam says that's part of the punishment for the original Averis. He did, as Ramban says, basically the same thing. He did so many Averis in the beginning that he deserved to be punished. I mean, HaShemayim, they were Moneah the Tshuva. Part of the Onish was Moneah HaTshuva. So Achanam is not being punished for the Averis that he did after the Moneah HaTshuva. All of the punishment is for the Averis that he did from before. That's the question. When the Rambam says Minias HaTshuva, does he mean literally Minias HaTshuva is impossible to do tshuva, or means also HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it more difficult? If Para would have really stretched further, maybe he would have been able to do tshuva. That's a further pilpul. What exactly does the Rambam mean when he talks about Minias HaTshuva? I thought there was a difficult pasuk here. Pasuk says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam instructs Moshe and Aaron to go to Paro, Vayas Moshe v'Aaron kasher tziva Hashem oisam kein osu. Moshe and Aaron do as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed them. So usually kasher tziva has a technical connotation. The word mitzvah is something which is noig miyado l'doros. That's what Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Tzav. He's quoting from the Torah's Kohanim. Ein loshen tzavah, loshen ziruz, miyad ledor. That's how the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He has 14 klolim, 14 sharoshim, to determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvos, what not. So the first is, you only include mitzvahs deraisa, you leave out mitzvahs derabbanan. The second is, you only include mitzvahs that are nogas ledoros. You don't include hayru ashor, because the word mitzvah means noiv ledoros. Everything here was hayru ashor. There was nothing ledoros here. That they should throw the mata down, it should turn into a nochesh, then it should pick it up, and it should swallow up the other. Everything was a hayru ashor. Dom tzvadei akinim, everything is hayru ashor. So how can the pasuk use that expression? Vayas Moshe v'Aaron kasher tziva Hashem oisam kein osu. Where is the mitzvah of the doris over here? Unless one should say, perhaps, that there is a din l'daras. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisari HaTorah, it's halacha from the Gemara in Sanhedrin around Daf Peites. The Gemara says, when a man comes and he tells you he's a Novi, and he tells you, I was told b'nevuah that you have to sell your Gemara Baba Kama, leave Yeshiva University, go to Brooklyn, join a different yeshiva and start learning Gittin. So do you have to listen to the Novi or not? So the Gemara says, first he has to show an osam mofes to demonstrate that he is a Novi. If he's already a Novi Muchzak, if he has already shown us an osam mofes in the past, and he has established himself as a Novi, so then he doesn't have to demonstrate an osam mofes every time he delivers an nevuah. But at least once in his life, he has to demonstrate an osam mofes. So maybe that's a din l'daras. That is a din l'daras. That a person who comes and says he's a Novi, has to, and he wants me to do something about it. He can be a Novi Gesundheit. He doesn't have to show himself an osam mofes. But if he wants someone else to listen to his nevuah, to do something, he has to demonstrate that he's a Navi through an osam mofes. So maybe that's the pshat. Vayas Moshe Yanka, Shatziv Hashem Oysam, Kenosu. That is the din l'daras. That the Navi who tells someone to do something, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Paro, you have to let the Jewish people free. So Paro says, how do I know that he's telling the truth? Making up a Baba Maisas. He has to show an osam mofes. So he did. So maybe that's what it means, Kashatziv Hashem Oysam. Otherwise, it's a problem. Maybe that's what it means. Namely, that they showed the osam mofes. That's in Pasuk Yud, in Perek Zayin. So maybe that's what it's referring to in Pasuk Vav also. Means that the demonstration of the osam mofes. I was just in Eretz Yisrael last week, so I visited, among other people, Rav Osher Weiss. So he gave me an inscribed copy of his Sefer on Shmos. So I had a look at it. So it's pleasant reading. So he has an interesting comment on today's Sedra. He's a real big goyim. He's a great goyim. So he has an interesting comment. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machlokes hatanoim regarding the makkah of Tzvardeya. It says, Vatal ha-tzvardeya. Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on talking about tzvardim, and then it says, Vatal ha-tzvardeya. There was only one. Vatchas is Eretz Mitzrayim. How can it be one tzvardeya, Vatchas? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. Here the Torah Tumima quotes it. Rabbi Kiva says there was one tzvardeya, and somehow it multiplied, and it had billions and billions of tzvadeim, and they were all kaanes happened. And Rav Loza ben Azari disagrees, says, no, there was one tzvadeh, vatala tzvadeh, one tzvadeh, but that tzvadeh gave a whistle, shor kolahem, and then all the other tzvadeim came. So Rav Loza ben Azari, the Torah Tmima quotes the beginning. So in that Bryce and Sanhedrin, Daf, Samach, Zayin, on the base, Rav Loza ben Azari attacks Rav Akiva, says, Rabbi, what are you hacking at China? You're talking about Agarata. You're like the brisket rub. You say halacha. Stick to Negoim Vaholos. Don't say an Agarata. With all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about. What did he get so upset? What's wrong? Such a big sin, such a big deal. Whether it's one Tzvardeya, and Rashi says they kept on hitting the Tzvardeya, think they're going to succeed in killing it. And every time they hit it, another 50 Tzvardeya came out. Until there were billions and billions of Tzvardeya came out from the one Tzvardeya. So what's the difference whether they both say the same thing? It started off with one and it turned out to be billions. Either because the one shot out billions or the one whistled and none of the others came. So what's the difference whether it's like this or like that, that he got so upset? So Rav Osher Weiss has a fascinating suggestion. The Gemara has a comment that how did Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria know that they should give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem? When they wanted them to worship Avodah Zarah, they wanted them to bow down to the Tzelem. So they refused to. And they were warned that if they're not going to bow down to the Tzelem, they're going to throw them into the Kibshan Hoish. And they said they don't care. Shadrach, Meshach, Ve'Abednego. Hanan, Mishael, Bazai. They had names in Aramis. So how did they know that they should give up their lives? How did they know? Tosfos, how did they know? That's the din of Yehor Gval Yavar, not to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara doesn't give the obvious answer. Say, b'chol nafshecha, p'inam noitel es nafshecha. So the Gemara says, They figured it out, a kal vachomer from the Tzvardim, that the Tzvardim were all over the place, uvisanderecho uvimisharesecho. Sanderecho misharesecho. When you put the cake in the oven to bake it, when you put the chalas in the oven, that's tanurecho, when it's hot. So they jumped into a hot oven knowing that they're going to lose their lives. So they were moisa nefesh al kiddush Hashem, to follow the instructions of the Rabbeinu shel Olam. So Madach, the Tzvardeya, is not going to get any Olam Abo, is no Schar v'yonish. He's prepared to give up his life to do the Tzivei Hashem. So certainly human beings like Hanan, Mishal, Azad, they have to give up their lives, not to worship Abu Dizor. So Tosfos doesn't understand. What do you have to learn a Kal Vachomer from the Tzvardeya for? Why don't you just say it's based on the din of Yehorek V'Yavar without any Tzvardeya? So Tosfos has two suggestions. So the Rabbeinu Tam has a famous pshat that appears in Tosfos in a few Masechtos, that the Tzelem was not really an Avodah Zarah. It wasn't a violation of Avodah Zarah that you should say strictly Yehorek V'Yavar. It was an Andartos L'Kovet HaMelech. He used to have everybody bow down out of respect to a boss of Adam, or to the picture, or to the statue of the boss of Adam. And strictly speaking, it's really muta. But some of the morons used to bow down, some of the less intelligent used to bow down and deify it. Like today, the cross. So the intelligent of the Avodah Zarah worship Yoshke. The cross is only a symbol. And those who have Shvach HaKef are mishtachlit to the cross itself. They deify the local natives here. Some of them, the Puerto Ricans who can't read, they can't write nothing, so some of them think that the cross is the God. The more intelligent of the Avodah Zarah, no, Yoshke is the real. This is only a picture. It's only a symbol of Yoshke. The more intelligent don't believe in Yoshke either. Okay. But that's what one of the Rabbanim writes in his Sefer. Rabbi Yoel Schwartz writes in his Sefer that he was sitting next to a Galach at some conference. He attends all kinds of wild conferences. So the Galach told him that 97% of the Catholics don't believe in the whole Yoshke and the whole thing. I think that's including all the Galachim also. 97% of them don't believe in the Al-Hav region. So so that's what Tosfos interprets there. That strictly speaking, it wasn't Yehorek V'Yavar. He wasn't called upon to deify the Tzelem. It wasn't the shame of Avodah Zarah. It was the shame Kovet HaMelech B'Yalma. But because there was some Shvach HaKep who would bow down to the Tzelem of the Melech and deify it, they thought he called upon to bow down means that it's an Avodah Zarah, that it's a deity. So that's why they decided, Lifnim Yishuras HaDin, to give up their lives. So the question is such a thing permissible? So that's a famous dispute, the Rambam and the Tosfos and the Ramban. The Rambam says, whenever the din is Yehorig, whenever the din is Yavar Va'al Yehorig, you violate the Avera. And you're not mechuyev to give up your life, so the Rambam says you're not allowed to give up your life. And whoever gives up his life is chayev, it's considered as if you violated suicide. You're not allowed to volunteer Yehorek V'Yavar. And the Ramban disagrees, the Mohammeds and the Tosfos disagrees, become a Mekonis, there seem to be Gemaras against the Rambam. Gemara has different case. That's the case of Mishnah quotes from the Rishonim who ask on the Rambam. There are several Gemaras that seem to contradict the Rambam. So that's a problem. So Tosfos says that there's such a thing as a lifnim yishuras hadin yehorek v'yavar. So that's what Tosfos interprets. That's what they learned out the kal vachomer from the Tzvardeya. The dinim of yehorek v'yavar are fixed in the Gemara. Hanan Mishal Bazad wouldn't have to learn that from the Tzvardeya if it would have been a real case of yehorek v'yavar. That's b'chol nafshecha afilu naita les nafshecha. But they learned that from the Tzvardeya. The Tzvardeya wasn't mitzuv al kiddush Hashem. So that's what they learned that. There's an Indian of voluntary Yehorek V'Yavar. So their Yehorek V'Yavar is also a voluntary one. That's how Tosfos says. So HaRav HaGaon, Rav Moshe Weiss, has a comment on this Agadah. What Rav Blazer Mazar gets so upset about Rav Akiva? Rav Akiva is much older than him. What he gets upset? Klach l'chaitz on the Goyim HaHolest. What do you deal in Agadah? He's saying wrong. So he said, according to Rav Akiva, that there was one Tzvardeya, and that one Tzvardeya, Bo'ifen Shelnes, shot off billions and billions of Tzvardeyim. So these Tzvardeyim only came into existence Bo'ifen Shelnes. So how can you learn a Kal Vachomer if the whole Tzvardeya came in, all of the billions of, one was natural, and all the others were Nes. So if all the other Tzvardeyim came into existence, only Bo'ifen Shelnes, solely for the purpose of jumping into the Tanurim, of doing the Ratzon Hashem, so that was once in the history of the world. How can you learn from that? The Chanan Mishal Bazari with a Kal Vachomer that they should have an Enim Mitzvah V'Yosef V'Yehorek V'Yama. So that's where Ablaz Manazai disagrees. He says, no, must be that all the billions of Tzvadim who were all over Eretz Mitzrayim were Biderach HaTeva. They weren't created specifically to do the Makkah of Tzvadim. They were natural Tzvadim, all the Tzvadim from the whole wide world collected together. So now, since it's a natural thing, and the natural Tzvadim, they weren't created specifically, the natural Tzvadim naturally gave up their lives. They don't have Bchiruch Hafshis, Behemoth, don't have Balachan, don't have Bchiruch Hafshis, but they made a decision to do Kiddush Hashem. No, it's a natural thing. So that's why Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, you figured out, this is a natural thing to do. You have to do it even if you're not Mitzvah, even Eidim Mitzvah, like the Tzvadeya, the Derech HaTeva. That's an interesting suggestion. That's why Rav Lozman Azar got so upset about Rebbe Akiva. If it's going to be like Rebbe Akiva said, that it was once Tzvadeya, the shadow of billions, so it's Boif and Sholnes, so then the whole Kal V'Chaimer that the tradition has it, that they were done a Kalvachaymer, Hanan Mishael Azar were done a Kalvachaymer from the Tzvardeya, Kalvachaymer would fall apart. I think he has more suggestions also, why they were so upset. The end of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro that Kitzesi Esuir, Ephras Eskapai. He's going to pray to the Baruch Shalom when he leaves the city. Why does he have to leave the city? Most of the time, he right away is Mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on this occasion, he says he has to leave the city. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, "Petochu Yir Lo Hispalo." He's not going to daven in the middle of the city. He shows him a little gilulim. It was full of Avodah Zarah. So he does want to daven with his Avodah Zarah. What is that, a din? That's halacha that you're not allowed to daven, or it's just a hargosha that he had? So Rashi uses the lashon shohaisa malaya gilulim. What do you mean gilulim? It means there was tzoas hakelev, strictly in the Gemara, the din of the Gemara. Tzoas hakelev doesn't have a din of tzoas. So you're allowed to daven. Some achrayim say that bizman is that they feed the klov in Michael Adam, so tzoas hakelev has a din of tzoya. So what does it mean gilulim? It means gilulim. It means it was full of tzoya, and you're not allowed to daven in the streets. No, gilulim means avodah zarah. So the B'nai Yisoschar writes in his Sefer Derech Pikudecho that in Tanakh you find every so often that Abu Dazar is referred to as Golol, as Gilulim. So he thinks that this is a din, that is described as Tzoa, just like there's a din, you're not allowed to be Mispalal near Tzoa, so you're not allowed to be Mispalal near Abu Dazar. Because it's like Tzoa, Dina Kitzoa. Why should that be so? He doesn't explain. So I thought maybe it's, if one should assume like that, it's an interesting chiddush, and one should assume like that, maybe it's based on the following. In the slaughterhouse, the shochtim all say a bracha, ala shchita, say a bracha on kisei adam. So the Darki Tshuva on Yeredeya quotes, has a likut of achrayim, so he raises a question that it smells awful there. The blood that comes out from the live animal, when you shecht it, has a terrible smell. So the din is that you're not allowed to daven when there's an awful areach ra. So he answers, no, that din, you're not allowed to daven when there's areach ra, is only when there's tzoa or there's ki. Let's say someone vomits. Someone ate something and it digested the enzymes in the stomach and then it comes out. So it smells awful. So you have food that decomposed. Well, let's say you have food that rotted and it has an awful smell. So also the din is that it's like tzoa, that meraglaim, that you're not allowed to daven. But if you have a chemical, a thing that naturally has an awful smell, so he says, then there is no such din. You're allowed to daven. I remember I was not a science major. So Rav Soloveitchik had a brother, Shmuel Soloveitchik, who taught chemistry here. So the year that I took chemistry, I don't remember, it could be that he always did. The year that I took chemistry, at least, he taught for the non-science majors, non-chemistry majors. So he's teaching the history of chemistry. Instead of teaching the real chemistry, he's teaching the history of chemistry, a little bit chemistry, you know. Okay. So he would tell us all kinds of stories. Everything was full of stories. So he told us when he was a student in university in the Sorbonne, so when they wanted to go to the opera, or whatever, not the opera, to the concerts, whatever, so the students didn't have so much money, so they couldn't buy good seats. So they bought the cheaper seats. But they were working chemistry lab a whole day, so they would smear on their bodies an awful-smelling chemical, and they would sit in the back row. They bought the cheaper seats. So the three rows in front of them would empty out. After 10 minutes, they would empty out. So they would move up to the front row. It was empty. Then after another 10 minutes, the next three rows would empty out. Till it would all, by the end of the night, they'd be sitting up in the front. They were using this chemical all day long, so they got used to it. It didn't bother them. It only bothers you in the beginning. That's real geneva. You're not allowed to do that. Students do all kinds of shtick. So if you have a chemical that smells awful, that's its natural smell. So that you're allowed to daven, that you're allowed to say tefillos. That's okay. But if you have something that decomposed, like tzoa, meraglaim, ki, or rotted food that rotted away, decomposed and has a bad smell because it spoiled, so that has a din of tzoya. So that's perhaps what he's driving at, that Avodah Zarah, when a person worships Avodah Zarah, the thing that used to be, here, the tape recorder used to be mutabano, the guy bows down to it, becomes asabano. If it becomes asabano, that's like something that decomposed, a natural item that decomposed, and it's considered like it's rotten now. So maybe it's takedin, that the Tanakh refers to it as gilulim, to this dino kigolo. That's a chiddush from the Bnei Yisoschar. I was born at Mercy Hospital in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Catholic Hospital. So they knew that my mother was the rabbi's wife. So every room had a tzelem in it. But out of respect for the rabbi's wife, so they took out the tzelem when my mother came into the room. So my mother said it didn't help. My mother said that the tzelem was there on the wall for so many years, so the dust that collected for so many years, the whole wall was dark. And by the tzelem that they removed, it was white. So the tzelem was there anyway, it didn't help. But that tzelem is only, by the intelligent of the Avodah Zarah, that tzelem is only a representative of Yoshke. So that's strictly, that's mutabano, that's not osmano. Unless you have some humamish, some of the less intelligent of the Avodah Zarah actually worship the tzelem. So if they worship the tzelem, so then it's a dava haneva, then it becomes osmano. The Pasuk describes the way Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem. He says, Kitzesi esuir efros es kapai. What do you mean by Yifroskas Kapov? This is a form of tefillah that we no longer have. But the Kivegran Shulchan Aruch raises the question, why don't we still continue? Moshe Rabbeinu daven b'Yifroskas Kapayim. Shlomo HaMelech says, Yifroskas Kapov. Different places in Tanakh, different tzaddikim daven b'Yifroskas Kapayim. Why don't we continue to have that practice today? So the Kivegran Hilchas Tefillah, on the bottom of the page in Aruch Chaim, he gives him Amikam as a quote Zachrayim. So they say that because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah adopted this form of prayer, that's why we discontinued it. Just like you have Matzeva. Esav Klocha Matzeva Shesani Hashem Alakecha. Bimei Ha'ovos, Bizman Ha'ovos, it was Ahuva. Matzeva was Ahuva. They used to offer karbonis on one slab of rock. And then once the Ovdei Avodah Zarah adopted that practice, they would give karbonis to Avodah Zarah on a Matzeva. So then the Rabbanu Shlom told us we should stay away from that. So this form of prayer was adopted by other Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that they raised their hands in prayer. So that's why we discontinued it. It shouldn't look like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What exactly is this form of prayer? What does it mean by Yifroskas Kapov? So the Vilna Gaon points out, I think in the Pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya, is Chazon Yeshaya says, he says, has two meanings. The Gemara says, a kohen shaharges anefesh leisa is kapov. A kohen who killed someone is not allowed to duchen. Yidechem domim aleihu. I won't listen to the brachas. And it also refers to davening, two kinds of priestess kapayim. So the Vilna Gaon explains, when the kohanim duchen, they do priestess kapayim like this. When a person davens, he does priestess kapayim like this, with the hands up. The difference being, he says, he gives it just a mashal to understand. You can understand it without the mashal. It's not so deep. It's not so complicated. So he says a mashal to the opening Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, that you have the ani and the balabais. So the ani comes to the balabais. He asks him for a handout. So the ani holds his hand like this. He's asking, give me an adova. Balabais, he gives him the money. Gives him like this. So when the kohanim are duchening, so they're giving a blessing. So they're like the balabais, they hold their hands like this. When you're about to give, so you give like this. When you daven, you're asking for something. The ikar of davening is to ask. By the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they imagine the whole religion is man-made. So they imagine God like a human being. So just like human beings appreciate flattery, people love to be praised. So too they imagine that the gods, all of the Avodah Zarahs, love to be praised. So by them, the prayer consists of praise. Hallelujah. They're always praising and praising. The Ribbono Shel Olam does need our praise. By us, the ikar of the prayer is bakasha sarachim. We're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to take care of our needs. But it's not dercher, it's just to say, I need this, I need panos, I need a shidduch, I need a job, I need this, I need that. Dercher dictates first you say hello, elokeinu elokei aviseinu. You start off with shevach, a little praise, not that he needs the praise, but that's the introduction. And then when you conclude, you have to have a prologue and an epilogue. So after you finish the davening, then you have to say hoidoya. And in the middle is the essence of the davening, is the bakosha sarachim. So the bakosha sarachim, the essence of the davening is bakosha sarachim. So you have to hold your hands like this. The man who has everything doesn't have to daven. The man who thinks that he's, the arrogant man who thinks that he's the smartest man in the world, doesn't have to daven. The man is so rich, and he can never, a man is healthy, and he can't imagine that he's ever going to lose the wealth, never going to get sick. So he's not davening for himself. He's davening always for everybody else. So kind. He's davening for everybody else. That's not davening. You have to realize that you don't have all the, that we're not the world's biggest geniuses. We have to realize that our health, right now it's okay. You can always lose your health. You can always lose your wealth. So the essence of tefillah really is bakasha sarachim. That's what they quote in the name of one of the great Hasidic Rebbes. The Medrash says on Bereshis that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, he doesn't punish like a human being who would want to punish his enemy. We would shoot the guy dead. We would rip him up to pieces. The Baruch Hu punishes, he doesn't punish so much. The punishments are not so bad. How do you see from the Nochash that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Nochash, before the Nochash was punished, he used to eat regular food. Ice cream, you know, cakes, cookies, yeah, real food. And after the punishment, offer teichel kol yemei chayecha. That's terrible. Offer. Then the Medrash says, whatever, even if he eats ice cream, it tastes like offer. It doesn't taste like offer. Everything he eats tastes like offer. So that's a big punishment. No more normal food. No more enjoying life. But on the other hand, the Medrash points out, not so bad, because when a person is stuck on a desert island, has nothing to eat, you're going to die from starvation. The Nochash always has food. Wherever he'll be, there's always offer. So it's not so bad. So Makshim Ha'ilam. So in Kematzinu Chayte Niskar. After he does the sin, before he did the sin, if he'd be on a desert island, wouldn't have anything to eat, he'd die from starvation. Now he's benefiting from the sin. So how is that considered? It's not only that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't punish Lachalut, he rewards the sinner. Part of the punishment is that he gives him a reward, that he's always going to have food, he'll never be lacking of food. They quote from one of the early Hasidic Rebbes that he said that whoever has everything is never lacking anything, so he never has room to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was the punishment of the Nochash. I'm never going to accept your prayers. You'll never have anything to pray for. So you won't have any relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how they say, Moshel Amadav Adayimah, that the father, a wealthy father, gets angry at his son, and he gives him a credit card, and the credit card is good for $20 billion, and he says, I hate you. Here's a credit card. Buy whatever you want, and I don't want to see you again. So he gives him a credit card for $20 billion, Givaldik. But he says, I don't want to see you again. The kid will never need anything from the father because he has unlimited funds. So that's what the punishment of the Nochash was. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him this credit card. He said, gives him, offer teichel kol yemei chayecha. He'll always have all of his needs, will be taken care of, and never be lacking anything. So that's a punishment. We praise, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Barnefosh Yisrabiz v'chesreinam, that he created us with chesreinus, that we need food, and we need sleep, and we need health, and we need money, and we need a shidduch, and we need a lot of things. So that's why there's room for us to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and offer a prayer that he should take care of all of our needs. If he would have created us without any chesreinus, we wouldn't be lacking anything. So there'd be no room for prayer. He doesn't need our shevach, and he doesn't need our hoidoya. We need the bakasha sarachim. We need that relationship. So if one doesn't have any bakasha sarachim, then then there's nothing to daven about. The idea that we spoke of earlier about Eretz Yisrael as a Morasha is not just a Yerusha. Morasha means we have an obligation to a heritage, you have an obligation to transmit it to the next generation, that we are not the balabatim over Eretz Yisrael to give it away, unlike a Yerusha. So there's a famous Ran in the Dorim on Daf Chav Ches, that a lot of people, they don't know what the Ran says before, they don't know what the Ran says after, but that Ran everybody knows. The Ran says, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to pay tax. That's what he quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. You don't have to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael. Dinan Machus HaDinan, with respect to paying tax, only applies to the rest of the world, doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. Why? So he quotes from the Balei HaTosfos, this is not accepted, it's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, sometimes they quote an opinion which is rejected, this one is not even mentioned, doesn't get dishonorable mention. So ignored. But the logic behind it is correct, just that Maskona is not accepted. The logic being that the theory behind the right of the government to tax, to levy a tax, is we charge you rent. America belongs to the American government. England belongs to the British government. France belongs to the French government. Years ago, it used to belong to the king. The king owns, right? Now, the government. So the government has a right to charge rent. You want to live, I have a house, you want to live in my house, I charge you rent. You don't pay rent, I have a right to evict you. So the government has a right to charge rent. So how do they charge rent? Income tax. Instead of saying a fixed amount, the rent. If you can afford it, you pay more. If you can't afford it, you pay less. That's the rent. If you're not prepared to pay the rent, so please leave the country. Move somewhere. Go to Mexico. Go to Canada. Go somewhere else. Go to the ocean. Go swim in the ocean. So the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos that every country in the world belongs to the government of that country except for Eretz Yisrael. Kili kol haaret ki geri mitoshavim atem imadi. So the Pasha Pshat Kili Kol Haaretz means the whole world belongs to God. So the Sfarno writes on that Pasuk at the end of Vayikra, Kili Kol Haaretz means Eretz Yisrael belongs to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbanu Shlomo owns Eretz Yisrael, unlike every other country, and he says, Kindalach, I want all the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. No rent. It's his home. He tells us we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So the government has no right to charge rent. The whole theory behind that's what the Balei HaTosfos thought. The whole theory behind charging taxes is that it's b'toyrus rent. Otherwise, you have the government doesn't permit you to live in that country. But in Eretz Yisrael, where it belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom, so the government has no right to prevent you. So that's a good idea, that the Rabbanu Shalom owes Eretz Yisrael and he gives us all permission. That's good. We don't accept it when it gets to taxes. We say the government still has a right to charge taxes in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, we assume that the original source for the right to tax is Parshas Melech and Sefer Shmuel. When Bnei Yisrael approached Shmuel HaNavi that they wanted a Melech, so he reads them the Riot Act. He says, "You're gonna feel sorry. You don't want a Melech," and he warns him in advance. The Melech is going to charge taxes, and he's going to take people into the army. He won't be able to make a living. He's going to grab your daughters as pilakshim. And all kinds of things he's warning the people, and after the warning they say, we want it anyway, so then he appoints Shaul as the Melech. He appoints Shaul as the Melech. So the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, the second parakum, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel regarding that whole parsha. Kol ha'omer b'parshas Melech, all the things that Shmuel HaNavi mentions, that these are the evils of the king, are these evils, these are legal or illegal? The government, the king has a right to charge tax, and the king has a right to draft your children into the army. Melech mutabo, Melech asabo. So the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, so we paskin like Shmuel, the Melech Mutabo. These are the legal rights of the king. He has the right to charge taxes. That's what some Rishon in the Iri and the Vilna Gaon write. That's why Shmuel is Shitosa. Shmuel is the one who says Dina Namachus Dina. So the Vilna Gaon goes like this: Meiri. They assume that Rab, who holds Kolam and Parshas Melech, Melech Asabo, that the government has no right to levy tax. How is any government going to exist based on donations, private donations? I don't know. But that's okay, so we don't pass like Rav, we pass like Shmuel. Question, how would the world exist if the din would have been like Rav? But the din is like Shmuel, Kolam, and Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. So the original Melech that he's talking about, that he says he's going to collect taxes, that's the Melech, the Jewish Melech in Eretz Yisrael. That is legitimate. So you see from the Tanakh, you see from the Gemara, that the government in Eretz Yisrael does have the right to charge taxes. So that's why it's very strange that Ran. Anyway, Bizman Azeh, the theory behind taxes is totally different. It's not at all based on what the Ran said. It's not the way it used to be. It's in Gamsen different. Now it's everything. The whole world is different. So the tax story is also different. Okay, this Shabbos is our special Shabbos. Dr. Lehm is going to be here. He's going to hold that drasha Friday night. I don't know what he's going to talk about, but he's a very fascinating speaker. So it's kedai to come hear all about it. I'm going to speak on Shabbos.
wife. Okay.